And then Jesus shows up and cuts deep to the hearts. Because the law and their understanding of it only dealt with the surface. Murder is an outward action, right? Murder was an outward action. Jesus addresses anger, which is an inward condition of the heart. He says, you've heard don't murder. Well, that's an outward expression of your anger. He says, I want to talk about the anger that would lead you to the murder. The law would talk about adultery. Adultery is something that you do. Lust is something that you feel. And so Jesus addresses the lust. Jesus sees the action and he addresses the issue. And by doing so, it shows us that the law doesn't deal with the heart condition. And the heart is the problem.
Worship Generation Radio presents Pastor Nate Gallagher of the Factory Youth, a ministry of Calvary Chapel, Vero Beach. We are currently in a series looking at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. One of the things that we hear Jesus say in this sermon is, "You have heard it was said, but I say to you." Jesus is bringing a new message from heaven, and that message is the way that God's kingdom works and how we can be a part of it. And the kingdom of God is nothing like the kingdom of men. If we want to be great in his kingdom, we must learn to be the servant of all. Although this seems counterintuitive, it makes the kingdom of God accessible for everyone. And in this series, we are learning how we could be a part of God's kingdom. Here's Pastor Nate with today's teaching.
So I'm calling this message, you can write it down, but I say to you, turn to your neighbor and say, but I say to you. I say to you. All right, verse 17 of chapter 5 in the book of Matthew. I said that totally backwards for some reason. Matthew 5, verse 7. Anyways, do not think, this is Jesus speaking, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass away from the law till all it's filled. Those two words that he says there, the idea here is the basically the equivalent of punctuation in the English language. He's basically saying that God's word is going to stand the test of time in such a deep way that even the punctuation is supposed to be there. That even sort of in a sense, the dots on the I's and the crosses on the T, they will by no means pass away. Heaven's going to go away. The earth is going to go away. But God's word will forever be there. And then he says, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. At this point, everybody would have been whispering. They would go, did he just say what I think he just said? Did he just say that we have to be more righteous than the scribes and Pharisees? And they're like, I think he said that. He must have messed up. Like he got his notes backwards or something, because that's not right. Because you got to understand that the scribes and Pharisees were the absolute like pinnacle of righteousness. That these guys would spend their whole entire life perfecting the law of God. They would make sure that they did the things that they were supposed to do, that they didn't do the things that they weren't supposed to do. In fact, on the Sabbath, they weren't allowed to work, and they took it to such extreme measures that they weren't allowed to take a certain amount of steps, because they figured that after you take a certain amount of steps, that counts as working and you're breaking the Sabbath law. And so they would count their steps and make sure that they didn't go over. And if they were getting close, they would sit down for a long time. That's how like religious these people are. And Jesus shows up and he goes, oh, hey, by the way, if you want to be in my kingdom, if you want to be a part of what I've got going on, your righteousness has to be more righteous than those guys. And they're like, I'm out. They're like, there is no possible way that I could do this. And then he goes on and he goes, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. And they would immediately think about the Ten Commandments. And it says, whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. I don't know what Raka means, but it doesn't sound nice. It's got the hard consonant that usually those four-letter words do not, you know, it's a serious word. The hard consonant, four letter, is not a good word. He's like, raka. Whoever says it, he says, will be in danger of, I don't know what the word means, but it's not nice. And he says, whoever calls his somebody that is in danger of the judgment. And then he says, whoever says you fool shall be in danger of hellfire. Now, I've said a lot meaner things than you fool, right? Like, that's like the G, like you fool, you're foolish. It's like kind of G rated. And he's like, if you say that, you're in danger of hellfire. This is radical stuff that Jesus is saying. And then he says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar. Go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge and the judge hand you over to the officer and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there until you have paid the last penny. And then he goes on, you have heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. See what I'm talking about? About pretty shocking statements. He says, furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all. Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, nor shall you swear by your head, because you can't make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Jesus makes these statements that starts with but. And we use the word but usually when we're trying to get out of something, right? Like, but you don't understand. And we're making an excuse as to why we did that or why we didn't do that. And really the reason we use that word is to make the situation that we're in better. We're in a bad situation and we're like, but hold on, right? And we use that hopefully to get out of a situation that we're in and make it something better. And Jesus makes this statement, but I say to you, four times in our text. These are his, but I say to you statements. And we looked at all of them in these texts. And the but is in the response to the law of God, which I am sure people said before, but as an excuse, as a response to the law of God. Probably you shall not murder, but you have no idea how mean they are. Here's an idea of using but in this context. You shall not commit adultery, but you have no idea how lonely I feel. Right, here's the usually so far the buts that were experienced when he was talking about the law of God. And Jesus is saying this as a new way to look at the law. He's not making an excuse for the law, but he's talking about the law in a new way. And these statements would have been so shocking, they would have been borderline blasphemous. What I mean by that is the group that he was talking with would have had a pretty good understanding of the scripture, especially the Ten Commandments. The people would have also known and seen the religious leaders who would have followed the law down to every last detail. And now Jesus rolls in and he says that he isn't here to destroy the law, and yet he comes in and changes everything they thought they knew about the law. He's like, oh, don't worry about it. I'm not here to destroy the law, but I'm going to change everything you possibly thought you knew about the law. And perhaps the most shocking statement of them all would have been verse 20, which I talked about for a moment, that he says, for I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. This would be impossible for the people to understand. Up until this point, they could have gotten by. Jesus talked about blessing. We talked about blessed are the poor in spirit and all these things. Jesus talked about how you're the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And like, yeah, that sounds pretty cool. And then here, Jesus says that you have to be more righteous than the most righteous person you can think of if you want to have any part of God's kingdom. And what Jesus is saying, and hoping that the people will see, is that the righteousness could never be achieved by their own ability to earn righteousness. What Jesus wants them to understand is that on their own, they will never measure up. Jesus is getting them to look at and say, you know the most righteous person that you think of. He's saying they're not good enough. And even if you were more righteous than them, you would still not be good enough. And Jesus is making these radical statements to make us realize that we will never measure up. Because of that, we need some other way to be a part of God's kingdom. That's what Jesus is saying. All the verses that we just read are really getting us to understand that, hey, we are pretty insignificant and we can't do a whole lot on our own. He says, don't even swear by your own head, because it's not like you can make your hair white or black. It's like you can't change the color of your hair. Like, you are so insignificant, no offense, you are so insignificant, you can't even make your hair grow when you wanted it to grow. You can't even change, like if you wanted it to be a different color, you can't do it on your own. And the whole thing, Jesus is really putting us into perspective. It's going like this. And you're like, wow, I feel really small. There is no way I could measure up. And so Jesus is getting us to think like this so that he can introduce to us a new way of receiving righteousness. Paul, the apostle, who was a Pharisee, said it like this. Philippians chapter 3. He says, concerning zeal persecuting the church, listen to this, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Then he says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I am suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Listen to this. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Paul says, I attempted to do the Pharisee thing and be super righteous on my own. I went to church. I read my Bible sometimes. I gave money to the church sometimes. I was nice to people sometimes. Like, what more do you want from me? He's like, I was as good as you possibly could be. And then he's like, but it wasn't enough. And so unless something intervenes to cover our own unrighteousness and make us righteous, we will always stay unrighteous. And righteousness cannot be obtained by the law because we always fall short. And because this is the case, Jesus is addressing a much bigger problem. And the bigger problem that Jesus is addressing is our heart. Because the law addresses the surface, and so Jesus looks at the people's condition. The law says you can't murder, and Jesus looks at our heart. And so you can jot this idea down. We have to get past the shallow because God wants what is below. We have to get past the shallow because God wants what is below. Our culture, in a lot of senses, is all about what you see. Or even more so, how we're perceived, right? I think we do a lot of time thinking about how other people see us and really not caring so much about how we're actually seen or who we actually are. And we are rarely willing to get past the surface of people's lives to actually get to know who they are and especially how they struggle. When we get down to it, a lot of our relationships are very surface level. We know, you know, their favorite cookie, thanks to Nick, and we know, very simple things about people. But then when it comes down to depth, talking about where we struggle or where we fail or where our doubts are and things like that, we stay real shallow because it's messy to go deeper. It's messy because a lot of times when you uncover layers, you realize things about a person that you maybe didn't want to know, or they realize things about you that you definitely didn't want them to know. And we're rarely willing to get past the surface. And so we often keep our friends at an arm distance because we don't want them to know what we're like. And we really don't want to know what they're like. And so everything is kept shallow. And then Jesus shows up and cuts deep to the hearts. Because the law and their understanding of it only dealt with the surface. Murder is an outward action, right? Murder was an outward action. Jesus addresses anger, which is an inward condition of the heart. He says, you've heard don't murder. Well, that's an outward expression of your anger. He says, I want to talk about the anger that would lead you to the murder. The law would talk about adultery. Adultery is something that you do. Lust is something that you feel. And so Jesus addresses the lust. Jesus sees the action and he addresses the issue. And by doing so, it shows us that the law doesn't deal with the heart condition. And the heart is the problem. Jeremiah 17 says this, that the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart's the problem. And so Jesus shows up and he addresses the heart, which is the actual problem. And he deals with what is below the surface. And Jesus wants people to see beyond the shallow and really look at what's actually going on below. Rather than looking at what they did, look at what led them to doing that. Does that make sense? Rather than looking at the outward action that they did, and we see that. Murder, you see that. But the anger and the bitterness that was built up that led to the anger, nobody sees that. And unless we're willing to go past the surface, we'll never talk to somebody or see somebody in when they're in that anger state. We see the adultery, we can't see the lust. And so Jesus addresses the heart because unless the heart changes, those outward expressions don't change. And so Jesus deals with the heart. And Jesus, the amazing thing about him is that he actually wants to get to know you beyond the surface level. Did you know that? That God wants to take time to know you beyond the surface level, beyond what you present to people. Beyond, like, after the however long it takes you to get ready and you pick the right filter and you go out into public. Like, how Jesus wants to know the just woke up you, right? Like, let's think, that's, Jesus wants to get to know who you actually are. He wants to actually know you. He wants to peel back the layers and see who you really are, because it's only when we can peel back those layers can things actually change. And I believe the same is true on how we should view other people. We shouldn't be so caught up in the surface things. We should actually be willing to dig to get to know people beyond that surface level. So Jesus makes these shocking statements really to get the people's attention and to show us that we are incapable of our own righteousness. And he said, the catalyst, he says, you can't change your hair. We can't change our hair. So how do we possibly expect to change our heart? And so Jesus comes in and he says, I want to address the heart. I want to address the issue. And when we can address the issue, we can actually change.
That concludes the teaching portion of today's message. But before we go, here's Nate with his wife Hannah to talk about how we could put this into practice.
So our culture today is no different than what Jesus is talking about here. We are image obsessed. We are all about the appearance and how we're presenting ourselves or how other people are presenting themselves. Right. You know, it's what clothing you're wearing, the way your hair looks, all of that is what society seems to care most about.
Right.
No one wants to get to know anyone or get deep down into anything.
Right.
Do you think that finds its way into the church and into Christianity?
I definitely think it does. You know, Jesus is talking about in these issues, he says, but I say to you, and really is because he's addressing the heart. All of these, the law addresses the action. you know, murder is an action. Jesus addresses the heart, which was anger.
Right.
You know, adultery was an action. Jesus addresses the heart, which was lust. And so he really wants to get past surface level and get down into what's really going on. And this is such a big topic because this isn't our culture today. Hmm. We want to stay at such a surface level with everything. And right. because that's our culture, it absolutely affects us as Christians. You know, our relationship with God can be so surfacey. Our relationship with other people in the body of Christ can be on such a surface level. But Jesus wants to really get down to the heart of the matter, the heart issues. And if he can address the heart issues, he can also take care of how our heart leads to our actions. Mm. And so because this affects the church, we've got a lot of surface level Christians, you know, that they love God when things are good and everything is going well, or they like the appearance of church, or they like certain aspects of it. But as soon as it doesn't go the way they want it to go, you know, it's so quick and easy for us to leave. Mm. And so Jesus is showing us that he's not just into sort of behavior modification.
Right.
He's into absolute life change. He's into being us being a new creation in Christ. And so Jesus comes in and he says, you've been masking something in your life with the law by just not murdering each other, which obviously we don't want. But if Jesus can address the real heart of the matter, which was anger, and he can deal with not us just not having anger towards one another, but loving one another and loving our enemies, the murder part is going to go away as well.
Right.
And so Jesus wants us to absolutely look at our heart, look at what is going on down deep, and really change and resurrect those things, because that's going to lead to the behavior modification. The really big thing that stood out to me from this text that Jesus talks about is when he says that when you bring your gift to the altar and then you remember that your brother has something against you, he says, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way and be reconciled to your brother and then come offer your gift. Mm-hmm. And what, you know, when I was studying for this teaching, I had an issue with a friend of mine. It was a friend that I felt like he betrayed me, and I felt like he did things that were wrong to me. Mm-hmm. And I was really upset with him. And all the while, I'm preparing a message and studying mm-hmm. God's word. And then, of course, the Lord totally convicts me in this area and just kind of spoke to me and said, before you show up to church and before you go and present this message to the people, you need to make sure that you get things right with this person.
Right.
And so I had to do what I hate doing and sending a text and saying, I'm sorry, I'm wrong, will you forgive me? And, you know, it's so important for us to realize that God cares about these things that go on outside of what just happens in church. Because as he talks about bringing our gift to the altar, this is coming to church. It can be worship. You know, it can be tithing. It can be any of these things. It can be serving. And Jesus says he absolutely wants us to be there and to be in church and to be serving and to be tithing and all these things. But there's things that we got to take care of on the outside, because we can be lifting our hands in worship and hating the person that's sitting next to us. Mm. And the reality of God wants us to worship him with our lives, and part of our worship unto him with our lives is making sure that we're getting along with the people around us. And so for us, some of us, we need to be reconciled to other people. We need to make sure, some of us have bitterness in our heart and we need to forgive that person. Some of us are angry with a friend because of something they did or we did or he said or she said or whatever it was. And all the while we're trying to go along with our Christian life. And we might have to deal with some stuff and sort of humble ourselves and apologize. And this is something that's so difficult for all of us.
Right.
But it's so necessary for us to really grow in our relationship with God.
And this all goes back to the whole point of this sermon, of the heart and getting to the heart. And that's what Jesus does, because the religious people of that day could be outwardly doing every single thing right the way the law had it laid out, mm-hmm. but had trouble with the people around them.
Right.
And we, like you were saying, can do the same thing today. And it's just Jesus coming in, being completely different than what the world says,
wow.
and saying, humble yourself, say you're sorry so that you can worship me. And he doesn't say if you come to the altar and you have a problem with your brother, but it wasn't your fault, just keep sacrificing. Mm-hmm. You know, he says, go find him and make it right.
Right.
And I think it's just so huge for us to remember that it's a heart thing in all of this. And that's why he calls us to do that, because he wants our hearts right, because that's when we can receive from him. That's when we can grow more is when we're willing to do that.
Thank you for listening to today's study presented by Worship Generation Radio. If you would like to listen again or hear more of Pastor Nate's teaching, visit us online at ccvb.net/thefactorypodcast. You can keep up with all that is going on with Pastor Nate or The Factory by following on Instagram at Nate M. Gallagher or at The Factory Youth. If this message has blessed you, we would love to hear about it. Send an email to church@ccvb.net. Join us next time as we continue studying the Bible with Pastor Nate Gallagher.